Hello and welcome to another Somewhere Fresh podcast with me, Jules Stapleton-Barnes. It's been a while, but I'm delighted to be back with someone you're very likely to have heard of, particularly if you're a Traitors fan, but you could be a fan of so much of his work because it spans decades and he is one of the most versatile performers I think Scotland has. He's an actor, director, producer, writer and presenter. He has a BAFTA, 5 Emmys, 2 Tony Awards and an Olivier. He began his theatre career in his native Scotland and he returns here as the creative director of the Pitlochry Festival Theatre. And as part of this, he's also launching a queer arts extravaganza in the new year called Out in the Hills. And he's going to tell you all about it. We don't have a huge amount of time in this conversation. There's so much more that I wanted to talk to Alan about. But I was so grateful that he gave me any time at all because he's so busy at the moment and he will give you lots to get excited about. But also what he believes is so beautiful about the queer community. I want to apologise because the very beginning of our interview is not present. And, you know, I'll take this, this is on me. There was a whole section at the beginning that has just disappeared. We were recording remotely and there may have been a loose finger on a mute button. But let me tell you, it was very settling, welcoming, warm. And we have a lovely chat about my nan who was turning 100 on the day that we recorded. You won't hear any of that. I'm so sorry. We just jumped straight to it. But what a treat in any form to have Alan Cumming on the Somewhere For Us podcast. This is Somewhere For Us.
Tonight is the gala at Pitlochry of The Sound of Music, which is sort of the last of the, we're sort of celebrating the end of an era in a way. It's the last show from, you know, the old guard, Elizabeth, my predecessor's season. So after this,
wow,
it's all the new stuff. The first thing is my LGBT festival out in the hills. And so I'm up to sort of do that and have some meetings and, you know, a lot going on. It's an exciting time.
Yeah. I watched that lovely piece you put together of all the things that are coming up. And all I could think of when I was watching it, I felt a great sense of pride for you. But I also had this sense of just how much there is to do. Well, it's going to be a busy time. So you're in Pitlochry now. Are you getting a chance to chat to the locals?
Yeah, I mean, I went for a swim this morning and I came back along the road and the locals are so lovely. They're so excited by, I mean, what I think is great is people really get what I'm trying to do, you know, and are really supportive of it. And they see it in the way that I do is there's not just a sort of great theatre, but a great thing for the town and a great thing for Scotland as well. You know, I really want to sort of celebrate all those things. So people are being, it's been so nice, actually. It's been such a long, difficult struggle to get it all together. You're right. It has not been easy and it will be a lot of, logistically, it's, you know, the whole system is different next year because we don't have the repertory system. So the whole building is going through this immense change. The whole sort of system of working is changing. And, you know, the whole culture is changing too. So it is a lot, but I think I feel everyone is excited and is up for the challenge and they know that it's a positive move. And so that's really exciting for me that to have it out in the world now, for it to be received in the way that I hoped. It's a very, it's a beautiful thing and very sort of validating and very much a relief. Yeah.
What brought you back to Scotland, Alan? You've done so much work around the world. Why now?
I've sort of been, I know it feels like I've just sort of popped back and I haven't been here for a long time, but I actually have, you know, had a cottage or a house in Scotland for years. And I have over the last, I don't know, 7 or 8 years, worked here a lot more again. And now, of course, there's more things like, which I suppose is a great sign in terms of, you know, there seems to be more films shooting here. Last year, I did 2 films in Scotland. And I'm now with The Traitors. I come for that. And now we're doing 2 Traitors a year. And now with, I take the Pitlochry job. So obviously there's much more commitment of being here for that. But also a couple of years ago, I got a new base in Scotland up in the Highlands near Inverness. And the plan was obviously partly to do with old Trump and the whole way that America's going, was to feel that it wasn't just I had a sort of a second home in Scotland or a holiday home or whatever, but that actually we me and my husband split our time more evenly between the two places, between the Highlands of Scotland and the East Village of Manhattan, you know, and it's such a great combo, actually. I love it.
A nice combo.
Yeah. The next couple of years, I'm mostly here. I have to say, I'm only really a few weeks in here and there in New York for the entire year, just because of my commitments here, which is great. And I'm ready to have a little, I mean, I'm actually looking forward to missing New York and missing America, because right now it feels very, obviously I have fun when I'm there because I have great friends and New York is still New York, but you're living in this climate of absolute hate and just chaos. And it's so...
That's how it feels from the outside, looking into America. It feels chaotic.
Yeah, it's chaotic and it's just spiraling. And it's so great to come back to Scotland and feel like, you know, solid and valued that I align with, and not worrying that there's people in the room who might be supporting fascism.
Yeah. Well, here's hoping. It's hoping it stays that way. There's so much happening. You've got the Pitlochry Festival more generally, but out in the hills, which is this wonderful chance to kind of platform queer artists and talk about things that are really important right now in this moment. What are you most excited about?
Wait, I've got a program. I'll show it to you as well. Hang on.
Oh.
This is good podcast. Need walking on.
I know, we're not filming it either, so...
We're
not filming this, no, this is just what... You do have to describe it.
I'll describe it. It's a very colourful, lots of primary colours. So it's a queer festival for everyone. That's the byline. And it's 3 days in January, the 16th, the 18th of January. And it's a sort of a... For me, what it is, it's a celebration of LGBTQ people and the contributions they've made to our lives, to all our lives. And so we've got a variety of things. Like we've got a thing about football versus homophobia and oral history.
I saw that, and that's with Connie McLeod, who's been on the podcast. I'm really excited.
We love Connie. He's actually doing another thing. He's doing his Hebridean Baker thing as well later on. A string quartet that's playing sort of music by queer composers. We've got Lewis Hetherington's lovely, and C.J. Mahoney. They did this lovely series of films about queer and trans and non-binary. It's so beautiful, this series of films. That's in the studio. There's various things that are up all the time. There's a thing called Camp Trans. There's a really lovely boy called Corey in our workshop here, and he's trans, and he brought that to my attention. It's this camp that trans people go to and just have sort of their time and their space, and somebody made a film about it. So we're showing that film. And then we've got, Armistead Maupin is coming to talk.
I know.
Yes. And Jackie, I thought that was, I'm so proud of myself.
What a combo that is. And have they met before, or are they going to meet first?
No, this is the first time they've met, but obviously they're both titans in their field. And
oh my gosh. And talking to Jackie, she's like, she's just got this gravitas about her and this poise that can quite disarm you.
I love her. I mean, I think I've admired her for years, but I also love the fact she's kind of like got what I love, which is she loves the high and she loves the low. Do you know what I mean? Yeah. She has got this gravitas and this great grace, but she's also dirty. And I think that's why, and so is Armistead. Yeah. They'll be a great combo. And then we've got
brilliant.
My friend Juano Diaz wrote this beautiful memoir about growing up as a little queer boy in Scotland and care. And then Evelyn Glennie, the percussionist, Dame Evelyn Glennie actually, is going to be playing along with him whilst he reads.
That is incredible.
And they've made up this show really for this. Then we've got a big gay Kaylee. Chris Wilson, who I love, is introducing it. We've got Kilted Yoga, Finlay Wilson doing yoga. A big discussion about sport called Match of the Gay. That's the thing that Cognac is in, actually. It's with Xander Murray and Amy McDonald, and Cognac's doing it.
Oh, Xander's a big fan of the magazine and podcast. So shout out to you, Xander, for all the lovely support you give us online as well.
Oh, that's nice. And then we've got art sessions where you can sort of drop in the foyer and, you know, you do art in the style of various queer artists like Frida Kahlo and Keith Haring and stuff like that. And Ian McKellen is doing a rehearsed reading of a new play. I'm interviewing Graham Norton. I've got a really
That'll be fun.
That's going to be a hoot. A beautiful thing by this lovely artist called Neil Morjani, called The Green Knight But Gay, which I'm so looking forward to. And DJ Jungle Hussey's doing a thing. a dance thing. Then Maddie Black's coming and being interviewed.
Oh,
I talk about being queer crime writers with Val McDermott and Louise Welsh. Oh, a lovely thing about Jo Clifford, who the playwright, and her, Katrina, talking about, it's called Family Pride, and just talking about...
I saw that.
Oh, you did? I think it's so interesting, talking about what it's like when a parent transitions. And then we have a thing called Me and the Girls, which I am doing with the amazing legend Neil Bartlett, queer theatre god to me. And it's a No Courage short story that he has adapted into a sort of play with songs. And we're doing a rehearsed reading of that on the Sunday. And then Kim Blythe is closing things off with Cowboy in the studio. So, there's loads going on. And I hope, and what I'm really excited by is that people saying, oh, I'm coming up for the weekend. I've booked the hotel and we're coming up to everything. And I think that's the thing, to make a weekend of it and come up and just...
Yeah, and also just a space for people to gather and connect as a community.
We have a big foyer and we have lots of lovely food and a lovely bar. So that's what I want the building to be, a community centre.
Yeah. And what part do you think Out in the Hills could play in the wider Scottish culture, Scottish arts culture?
Well, I think what I have done coming here in general is to sort of, it's kind of been a bit of a shot in the arm. It's kind of exciting, I think, because we're like, oh, what's he doing? It's a bit left field. But also I think I'm doing it in a place that is rural, not in one of the big cities. And I'm really saying I'm doing this because I think it's great. I think we should do it. And I think we have the talent and we should, you know, people will come and see it. Not just the local people, of course, which I want to encourage to keep coming and to come, and but also to bring people from afar. So what I think Out in the Hills will do is to remind people that we should, especially at a time right now when so many, especially trans people, are being so victimized. And every time you hear about queer and trans things in the news, it's in a negative way. I wanted to sort of knock that on the head and have a positive thing about queer and trans people.
Yeah, and celebrate achievements.
Celebrate the contribution we've made, and not just to sort of think of all the terrible stuff we're hearing about toilets and things like that. It's never about the toilet.
Well, it becomes like the language gets weaponized as opposed to it being behind humans.
Exactly.
This festival is going to celebrate the humans.
Yeah, and I think it's a good thing to just... what I feel is I'm sort of like a human megaphone shouting out to the world about what great artists and what great stories and what a great tradition we have here. And also that we are kind, you know, and I think that's one of the things that's lacking in the world right now. And in terms of the messages we put out, you don't hear about kindness. You don't hear you hear about actually the opposite. We're taking money away from caring for people who are less fortunate than ourselves. We're victimizing them and we're blaming them. And I just think that's we're not like that. That's not a Scottish trait. And I want to just amplify and sort of try and push back the tide of that using what I know, which is theatre and storytelling and great people.
And talking of great people, one of the things I often ask people who come onto the podcast is around their own access to community and what queer community means to them. And so what does it mean to you now in 2025? What does a queer community mean to Alan Cumming?
I mean, I think it's there's various things. I have various different lives. And so it is really interesting about my queer community in New York, say, would revolve around Club Cumming, my bar, my cabaret club that I have. And I feel that is I've made a sort of a haven for queer people and especially queer artists and trans artists who perform there. And it's made this beautiful, I think manifesting something from, if you set out and want something to be a certain way, which is what I did with Club Cumming, I just told people how I wanted it to be and they came with that and made it that. And that's also what I'm trying to do at Putlockery. And I feel that my queer community to me means they're a sort of a shelter and a sort of, again, a celebration, reminding people of the contribution and the great joy that there is. And here in Scotland, I mean, I feel like I'm excited to be hopefully creating a queer community by this festival in areas where it's maybe harder to gather and know who's queer around you. But also I feel like, you know, there's so many non-queer people who, and I love the word queer because it doesn't actually define what you do with the contents of your pants. It's actually about a sort of sensibility. And, you know, there's lots of people who are straight as a die who are queer in their outlook, their spirit. So I want, hopefully, to do something with Out in the Hills that will encourage that community to evolve. And also, I think being a queer person who has such a platform and is known around the world, I sort of am my own community, and I feel like what I say and do, and it's a duty that I feel, it's not an onerous duty, but I know it is a duty to keep talking about what I see and feel and trying to have a sort of a moral center that I feel is right and just, and to speak out when I need to. And also to also very much remind people that joy is not only important, but it is a form of protest. And even it amazes me that even with all the terrible hurdles and obstacles that queer people, especially trans people, and especially, you know, right now, and also people of color, black joy, I feel, is also a huge, beautiful thing, but it's also massively a protest that people can't understand, who don't, you know, the other people who don't get it and who don't want you to thrive are so infuriated by your joy because they don't have it. And I think that is a great thing to always remember. If you have your joy, you have both a cushion but also a sort of a weapon.
Yeah, and I wonder in Scotland if maybe that really celebrating publicly the queer community, I think, is still quite new in Scotland, particularly in rural spaces. I had a really, really good little project on the podcast with these two young folks who are based up in the Highlands, and their impression of their town and their village was that there are no role models, there is no one to talk to. And that's in 2025. There is nothing to do in that part of Scotland as a queer person. You have to leave it. You can't be queer there. And that these were really strong feelings coming from these young teenagers. And then just outside their door, there were these queer folks who were doing things quietly and getting things done. And there are role models there. But I think it can be hard because of homophobia, biphobia, transphobia, to shout and to be loud, and there is going to be this backlash, I think, with that. And I imagine you're going to get that, but I think you're the right person to be at the helm for that, Alan, because your platform doesn't just give you access to promote and to be loud. It gives you strength, I think. I hope
so too. And I feel, yeah, I also don't like this festival. If you don't want to come, great, it'll be something else you like. But you'll be a dope if you don't like it. I mean, I'm also clever. I'm bringing people that I know will bring in. I'm, you know, people on the lineup are there. Some of them are people who the audience they will bring would never normally come to what is a queer festival. Yeah. But they're coming to this, and that. So there they are. They're in a queer festival. Look at you. You came to a celebration of LGBTQ plus stuff. Look at that. That's what I want. That's what you have to do. You have to sort of. Just remind people that you came, you're supporting it. You're an ally now. And look, that wasn't scary, was it? And I think it's doing it with joy and inclusion. We, you know, and it's not, I think we talk a lot about inclusion in queer circles. We've got to include straight people as well, because if we want sort of to have harmony, and it's all about the fear of the unknown. And so I think, you know, when we have joy, you think, come and have some joy. You need it, you lot. So I think that's how I lead, is from those places of also going, you know, we're great and we're having a great time over here. You should come and have a part of it.
I love putting out that message as well, that is true for so many queer people, that we're in a good place, and that people are living their lives, they're having families, they're having a voice, they're making art.
And also, you know, the thing you said, I think, first of all, I want to say I love your magazine. I just think it's so great. I think I love that you celebrate and include all areas of Scotland, especially, you know, what I'm sort of doing with this festival. You've been doing for years with the magazine. That's kind of what first attracted me to it, was like, what? This is going on? And, you know, it's so exciting to sort of find that is there and so vibrant and so colourful. And, you know, in a way, this brochure is sort of inspired by your aesthetic. But also the other thing you were saying is I think when you're younger, you feel you can't be queer unless there's other queer people there. And obviously it's really lovely to have a community and to have a physical community and to be around queer people. And yes, maybe you do have to go away to actually get that and to feel that, to feel you belong. But actually, before you said that thing about the people along the street, I actually think you can be queer anywhere. Do you know what I mean? That's what
and
I
we
feel.
Are.
Yes, we are. You don't have to, we don't have to do it in a group. It's nice to do it in a group, but, and also luckily, you know, we have technology now to sort of be able to reach people in a way that when I was growing up, it definitely that wasn't an option. But I do feel that the older you get, the more, obviously, more confident you get about yourself, hopefully, but also the idea that you can just be you.
Yeah, unapologetic.
Unapologetic, and also just, you don't need, I mean, it is nice to have a tribe, you know they're there, but you can be queer all the time, just living your life and doing what you want.
If you're like Alan Cumming and you're a massive fan of Summer Frost magazine, then you'll already have your hands on issue 21. But if you don't have your copy yet, you can visit summerfrost.org, where you'll have access to every episode of the pod, but also every collectible edition of the magazine. Issue 21 is out now, and we're celebrating our Unicorn winners, Fringe Award winners, and lots of the other cover artists who've produced the most beautiful artwork of the last 20 editions. Gift yourself queer joy and connection for 2026. Come and visit us at summerfrost.org. It's pretty hard to switch off, to be honest. Listen, Alan, we're celebrating our milestone 20 issues of Summer Frost magazine.
Congratulations.
It's our fifth birthday this autumn, which we're really proud of. You've been such a huge supporter, and thank you for those lovely comments. We wanted to ask, what message would you like to give our readers and listeners and allies all over Scotland and the world, actually, in a time where our communities continue to be under attack in the kind of political frame? And even, you know, with the arts sector facing so many cuts to funding and things, what kind of message would you like to give to our readers about the future and our listeners?
I think I'd like to say, as someone who's 60 and has been around the block a few times and has, and, you know, now running a theatre and remembering what it felt like 40 years ago when I was first working in the Scottish theatre, I see certain patterns and certain things happening. There's always funding cuts. We're always worried. We're always sort of under attack. There's always something. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Right now in the world, in Scotland, we have a government and a parliament that, despite the fact that we've had this backlash after the gender reform bill, and despite the Supreme Court ruling and various things, we still have a parliament that really supports queer people in terms of their general rights and they are allies. I really believe that. Our government, our people whose taxes, they use our taxes to do things, they also are on our side. And I think that is, it's so difficult when you're so bombarded by messages and stuff from all around the world, especially in England or America and other, and mainland, there's so many heinous things you hear about, but actually at home here in Scotland, we're in a pretty good place. We live in a progressive political country. And I really do believe that, and I meet these politicians quite often, that obviously reform is there and that's terrifying, but they're not in power. And they are popular right now because their flames are being fanned by both them and other parts of the media and everything, because it's easy to blame asylum seekers or refugees or queer people for all our problems, because they can't answer back, and it covers up the fact that they basically want, like what's happening in America, billionaires to run everything and to fuck it all up. So just remember that even though it may feel that things are heinously bad, but right here in Scotland, we're in pretty good shape. Obviously, I don't mean this to be a political broadcast about independence, but
no.
Were we independent, we would have passed that bill, and we wouldn't have this backlash, and we wouldn't have had that Supreme Court decision. If Scotland, you know, that is fact. And I think that's all these ideas about being more progressive and being more supported as queer people are connected to how we are governed, and therefore, if we want to go in the direction that the Scottish people want to go in, that's another reason why I think you should support independence. But there we are, that's that done. I think self-determination as a concept is really important. I think trans people should be able to self-determine about their bodies. I think women should be able to self-determine about whether they have an abortion or not. All these things are absolutely connected to how we allow our countries to be run. So I just think be proud and confident and loud about the fact that we live in a country that supports those things, and vigilant, of course, always be vigilant, because things can change. As we see in America and other countries, things change really fast, and don't take anything for granted, but also know that we are pretty privileged and not lucky, but we are privileged to be at this time. I mean, I don't think you should be grateful for your rights, but
no, I understand that.
Feel happy that we're living in a pretty progressive country that actually supports us.
I can definitely hear that's coming from somebody who's experienced life elsewhere as well.
Right. Yes.
You know, there's a shift, and there's you can sense a sense of real difference when you come here. I think it's really positive. The thing you were saying about joy, I'm such a believer in that. I think it's not only a protest. It's not only something that we deserve. It's also something that makes us healthier. It makes us happier. And art gives us such a great access to those spaces to share joy together. And the other thing that I think that Out in the Hills is going to do is it also, and maybe not just in this instance of it in January, but maybe looking to the future as well, is it's a platform for queer artists to also reflect the times and keep us vigilant. You talked about vigilance. I think art has a huge, you know, has a huge role in that. In my personal life, I look to the artists that I love and the musicians and the writers to kind of help me make sense of the world, but also to raise questions. And I think we need queer platforms for that. And Out in the Hills is that. So as well as the Pitlochry Festival, and to have you at the helm of that, it feels really important in Scotland right now to keep us connected with queer art as well.
Yes. I mean, obviously the whole season has a bit of a queer perspective because I chose
it. Yes, I mean, I had noticed.
Yeah. And I think that's the thing about queerness is not exclusive to us. You know, everyone.
Of course not.
You know, that's the thing. Yeah. I think we've got to not make people scared of, you know, what is queerness? It's provocation, being open to other ideas, not closing yourself off to the potential of possibility, all those things. And those are pretty healthy attributes to have as an artist and as a person. So,
funny enough, I think that's what a lot of straight people are scared of, actually. Yeah. Everybody really is, by design, from patriarchy and misogyny and all those things in place, by design, we're meant to be afraid of letting go and exploring the all parts of our thoughts and feelings.
You know, it's so fast. I was just talking about this yesterday. The first thing I did at Pitlochry, it was the Winter Words Festival, which I curated. That was the first thing I did last February. And I DJed a party on the Saturday night in the foyer and I invited the whole town. And everyone came and everyone let go. Nearly everyone let go. And I just found it absolutely, this is what you have to do. You have to get people in and let them just express joy. And people said, I've not danced like that in years. And you know, it's about inclusion and about just having joy and jumping around and letting your body do that. And that, I think, is what we need to do more and more. And I feel that's really, you know, it was funny. I was having this conversation about budgets and blah, blah, and all that boring stuff. And they said something about, oh, things might lose money. I said, well, you know, if it's about not losing money, let's just close the theatre down and I'll just DJ a party every night. We'll just turn it into a club. You know, but the point is, we are a theatre and we have to put plays on too.
Oh, I'm so looking forward to it. Tell me, Alan Cumming, what is bringing you joy?
I'll tell you what gave me joy this week. I'm shooting this new series called Tiptoe, which is by Russell T. Davis, which he's a queer genius. He wrote Queer as Folk. He writes Doctor Who right now. He wrote It's a Sin, that was amazing. I'm in his new thing. It's about contemporary life. It's about rage, and it's about many of the things we're talking about in this podcast. It's beautiful, and there's a chunk of the story with a lot of young men, about 15 young men, and who actually have to do some quite brutal stuff in the story. And I've been so impressed by them. I've been so impressed by how sensitive they were. And of course, they're actors, so, you know, they're not. There's obviously a little bit of built-in sensitivity there, you'd hope. But just how they are with each other.
No guarantee. No guarantee.
No guarantee. I've met some boots. But I'm just really impressed by their kindness to each other and how they maneuvered this material and how it was an incredibly intense and upsetting thing for me to perform with them. And it was so made so much easier by how lovely and kind and sort of mature these boys were. And I was just really impressed by that bunch of young, mostly straight guys. And that I thought was really, that brought me joy. I think that I feel more and more as I get older, I feel the future is safer in because young people are better.
And that's the way around it should be, right? That's
I hope they don't just get older and meaner. But I feel it, you know, I really am. I was just thinking about looking back at this last week, and they all finished, and we, you know, we're all hugging and clapping and everything. And it was just a lovely thing. And it's also so nice because they think of me as someone they grew up watching. And I was part of their childhoods because of various roles that I played. And that is also a lovely thing. I'm like, if me being a part of their childhood helped make them these lovely people, then how great is that?
That's the dream. That is the dream. It must be. You've had such a diverse career. You've done so many things. I mean, from the high life to, you know, just like Scottish comedy to L Word, you know, it's just so broad. And are you happy with it like that? Is that how you wanted your career to go?
I mean, yeah. I mean, you know, I didn't really have a. someone said, "What was your career strategy?" And I was like, "Oh my god! If I had a career strategy, it would have been made by an alcoholic, because it's all over the place." I didn't have a strategy. I just sort of wanted to work and do fun things, but I always, you know, from the very, very word go, I mean, my career is incredibly eclectic. And I think from the word go, I was like that. Whilst I was, you know, being a baby actor, I was also doing with Forbes, I did the High Life with Victor and Barry, this comedy act, and doing lots of sort of, you know, so effectively doing stand-up comedy at the same time I was like, you know, at the Royal Shakespeare Company, for instance. And people always, in those days, people were a bit more sort of sniffy about it, that you were, you know, that you went outside your lane. And couldn't really understand it. I think in Scotland, we have much more of a tradition of going back and forward between sort of variety and hilariously, I always think, called straight plays, you know. We are much more, we don't sort of, I guess we're a smaller country, so we don't really have those lanes.
Yeah.
But I feel like I've always been eclectic and I've always done lots of different things and I've presented things and hosted things always as well. And I've written and I just think that's what I wanted to do. The course I did at drama school was the sort of more, you know, you did writing and directing and devised things and teaching and all these different, you know, things rather than just acting. I find actors en masse horribly boring. And I'm so glad I didn't just do a course that was just acting because I feel like you just become so self-obsessed and not just with not self-obsessed, but obsessed with one thing. Which I don't think is healthy. And I think acting, the theatre, filmmaking, whatever, it is a communal activity. And you have to remember that you are part of many. Sometimes you're the one that everybody sees, but many other people are involved in making the thing that you're watching. So I'm glad I did a course at drama school and I've had a life that has always reminded me of that. And I've often been the person, you know, who you don't see, the writer or the producer or the director.
Well, I'm so glad on behalf of all the Somewhere For Us listeners and readers of our magazine, who will be so keen to hear about out in the hills and learn more about it. I'm so glad that you're bringing parts of that, your life and your experience, and channeling that energy into Scotland in this way and into the community in this way. And I just know it's going to do a whole load of good. So thank you so much.
Thank you. That's so lovely. Thank you very much.
Great talking to you.
Have a lovely time with your granny.
You're such a legend. And I know it sounds soppy, but I'm proud of you.
I love that. Oh, thank you. That's so nice. What a lovely place to see.
You're embodying and you're doing and you're acting on the beliefs and values that you think Scotland has to offer other people. And
yes.
You're putting your money where your mouth is and your time and your effort. And I love that. So thank you, Alan.
Thank you so much, Jules. Thank you. That's so lovely.
So there you have it. Alan Cumming with all his wit and experience and knowledge just shining through. You can get involved with Out on the Hills Festival. You can visit the links in the show notes. And for Alan's back catalogue, well, just Google Alan Cumming. I found him to be incredibly polished in terms of how he talks about putting on the festival. But what I really loved was actually hearing him bring himself into the conversation about queer community and what matters to him and what his values were. So I'm really grateful that he shared that with us as a role model and as somebody out there with a platform. So thank you, Alan. It was an absolute pleasure to talk to you, and we look onwards and upwards to 2026. If you're new to Somewhere For Us, you can check out all episodes on somewhereforus.org/podcast. I would love it if you could follow me on socials or find me on any platform that you listen to podcasts. That's Somewhere For Us podcast. I'm Jules Stapleton-Barnes, and this is Somewhere For Us.